You owe me, the Zabrak said darkly as Joss watched him scrub up. I just finished my own rotation 2 hours ago. Sleep's overrated. I wouldn't know. Just give me an hour or so, Joss said. I've got to clear my head. So you're going for a walk? Have you been outside lately? The air's so thick you could swim to the cantina. 1 hour, Joss said. I'll be back. He left the building and struck out across the compound, angling away from the marshes and toward the relatively drier Boda fields. He stepped through a small stand of broad-leaved trees, waving away the wing stingers and fire gnats swarming around him, and saw the Boda fields. He made no attempt to pinch off a bit of the plant, knowing that the rows were protected by a low-level zap field. This innocuous growth was a precious commodity. Understandable, since its adaptogenic cells could serve a variety of purposes, everything from potent, broad-based antibiotic to hallucinogen to nutrient, depending on the species. If it could be cultivated off-world, it would give the spice traders considerable cause to worry, because it could literally be all things to all people. All things to all people. It suddenly seemed to Joss that he'd spent a goodly part of his life, entirely too much perhaps, trying to be the same thing. As far back as he could remember, it had been assumed that he would be a doctor. It wasn't a decision he regretted. He was proud of his profession. But that was only one of many ways that he'd endeavored to be the good son. He studied hard, always toed the line, been a child of whom anyone could be proud. And his family had been proud of him, no question of it. They had never stinted in their praise. He had no desire to hurt them or to see them hurt. And he knew that espousing an Exter would probably put them in early graves. It didn't take a Jedi to see that Tulk would shine out amid an entire planet full of women. And he couldn't deny that her offer of wartime comfort was tempting. Very tempting. But he couldn't. What are you afraid of? I'm afraid I'll fall in love with her, he said aloud. I think it's too late to fear that, a gentle voice behind him said. Startled, Joss turned, expecting for an instant to see Tulk, to wonder if he should be delighted, angry, afraid, or something for which he likely had no name. But it wasn't Tulk. It was the Padawan, Barriss Offee. Barriss had been initially surprised to encounter Joss this far from the base. After a moment, however, she realized there was nothing to be surprised about. She had been wanting to talk to him, to offer him some solace for the mental and emotional turmoil she knew he was going through. It was not just her desire as a friend. It was her duty as a Jedi. You are troubled, Joss, she murmured. You are fighting your own internal war on as many different fronts as the Republic is on Drongar. I can't solve your crises, but I can guide you to a more secure place from where you can deal with them. Why? He asked. I mean, what's so special about me? Barriss smiled. I could say I want to ensure your ability to perform well in the OT, and there is something of that in my purpose, but mostly it's because I'm a Jedi and a healer as well. My purpose is to aid and comfort. Joss was silent for a moment. Then he said, What did you mean when you said it was too late to fear falling in love with Tulk? Exactly what I said. It's obvious you love her and she reciprocates. I would see it even without the Force's aid. If you don't believe me, ask any of your friends. Joss lifted his arms in exasperation. So everyone sees it but me? One is usually blind when one is the eye of the storm. But she's Exter, he whispered. My family would be devastated. Most likely true. I'd be giving up everything. My family, my friends, my practice. And for what? Barriss looked at him. For love, she said. Joss was silent for several long minutes, his eyes downcast. Then he heaved a great sigh and looked at Barriss. I can't, he said. Choices of the heart are never easy, she said. She looked at the sky, saw that the sun was setting in a blaze of reds and oranges. its light reflecting off the spores in the upper atmosphere. "It will be dark soon," she said. "Best we return to the base." Joss glanced at his wrist chrono and nodded.
"Yeah, I promised Zan I'd be back in."
A light, brighter than a dozen suns, seared Barriss's vision. An instant later, a giant hand lifted her, then smashed her full length into the mud. The attack took Joss as much by surprise as it did the Jedi. At first, he was not sure what had happened. Only that there had been a brilliant flash of light, a deafening explosion, and when he regained his senses, he found himself lying across Barriss's still unconscious form, both of them half buried in warm mud. He looked up. His vision was blurry, and he was nearly deaf from the explosion, but he could see well enough to realize that a battle droid was standing on the other side of the Boda field, its telescoping chest cannon still extended. It looked like it was lining up another shot. Joss scrambled to his feet, or tried to. Drongar suddenly appeared to be rotating in several directions at once, and he fell again, this time landing alongside Barriss. His face wound up in the mud, only a few centimeters from hers. He saw her open her eyes. Another cannon blast scorched the ground a meter in front of them, ripping up rows of Bota and raining fragments of the plant down around them. Barriss rose to her feet. Just how, Joss couldn't have said. She seemed to levitate. One moment, she was sprawled on the ground, and next, she stood upright. Impressive as that was, however, it was nothing compared to her next action. As Joss watched in astonishment, the Padawan leapt across the Bota field, covering a distance of at least 10 meters in a single bound. As she arced through the air toward the droid, Joss saw another flash of light. At first, he thought the droid had fired again, but then he realized the glow came from Barriss's hand. She had drawn her lightsaber. He watched open-mouthed as Barriss landed next to the battle droid. Before it could fire again, she struck a single blow with the energy weapon that sheared halfway through the droid's torso. Sparks erupted, and the droid collapsed. Joss managed to get to his feet and stay there as the Padawan deactivated her lightsaber. Hooking it to her belt, she walked back to him, taking care to go around the Boda field to avoid causing any more damage to the precious growths. "That," he said, at a loss of words for one of the few times in his life. "That was... you're amazing." She made a grimace of annoyance. "I'm an unwary amateur," she replied. "Had I been more mindful of the Force, that droid would never have gotten close enough to attack us. We'd better get back. I think that was a single scout that managed to penetrate our lines, but there might be more."